Hello, everyone. Surprise. Corinne is having technical issues today, meaning her computer won't boot. So she asked me to cover the Zoom call for her today. So here we are. We have Missy, Ailey, Tanya, and Jessica up today. So if you guys are here, if you want to go ahead and raise your hand, we will get started. Missy, Ailey, Tanya, and Jessica. Missy is here. All right, Missy, you are up. Goodness. All right, there we are.
All right.
Hey, lady, how are you?
I'm okay.
Surprise.
Really? I'm nervous. Yeah, you look different, Corinne. Your hair or something.
You're nervous, did you say?
Yes.
Why?
Well, that is actually, I'm changing my topic. I went in and changed it on the sign-up sheet. Originally, it was going to be about maintenance and staying in control of my food and stuff, because I did ask coaches, and they were basically like, you need to get on a call, which is probably you. But anyway.
I don't remember. We answer so many of those.
Right. So then I thought I was on last week. So I got all ready and I realized that I had signed up for the wrong date. So since then, I've heard a couple other calls that talked about maintenance. And I realized that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's more about the emotional side of it, like feelings and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what I really need help with is like figuring out the self-confidence, not just about weight loss. Cause I mean, I've lost weight. I know how to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Self-confidence in general. Like, I've been listening to all these like self-help books and, you know, Year of Yes and, the 5-point rule and all these things that like encourage you to like go out and do big things. But like, I second guess everything I do. Like, even if something goes really well, I go home at night and think, oh, I wonder what they thought when I said that. Oh, I wonder if they're mad at me because I did that, or I should have mentioned this, or I mean, well,
is it self-confidence or is it worry over what other people are thinking?
Well, I think they tie in. It's definitely worrying about what other people think.
Mm-hmm. So if you could set that aside, if that worry went away, if everybody ran around with a thought bubble over their head and you knew what everyone was thinking, what would be the issue?
Well, it depends what they're thinking. But if I didn't have to worry about what people were thinking, I have a lot of confidence. Like, you could tell me right now, go stand on the stage and talk to 3,000 people and I could do it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that kind of confidence. I mean, I did that at 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. I ran all kinds of stuff in school. I ran auctions that earned $25,000. I begged for donations from strangers. It's not that kind of self-confidence. It's more of a, like, I do something or say something, like camp. Like, I'll talk to people and then I'll go back to the room and think, I wonder what they thought about me. I wonder if they think I'm annoying. I wonder if they think I'm overbearing, because I am outgoing. So it's a weird combination. So it's like, I have self-confidence to talk to people, but then I overanalyze everything. I've got a couple of theories. Yes.
You overthink.
I've got a couple of theories of why I do it sometimes, but I don't know if they're right or valid.
Missy, do you like yourself?
I do. I really believe I do.
Then why are you worried about whether or not other people like you?
I know I'm going to cry.
Then I'm doing a good job.
I worry because who cares if I like myself if I don't have people that like me? Like,
but if you like yourself and you are totally into you and you're happy with you, it won't matter what anyone else thinks.
Well, it does, because if no one likes me, I won't have people to be around. I mean, so who cares?
But what will happen is you'll gravitate to the people that you want to be around. You see the shift? If you are 100% loving yourself and into yourself, all these people that don't, that, you know, you're the one who picks who you want to be around.
Right.
Okay. So what you're doing actually is you're looking for validation from someone else that you can like yourself.
Right.
Right. Like, and that's not where you want to be. You want to be that person that creates that own feeling of self-love, not relies on someone else to tell you that you're loved. Here's the difference, okay? Can you hear the airplane? Yeah. Plane flying over my house. Okay, good. If I were to say, Missy, you're fabulous, that would give you a hit of everything's right in the world. Kathy thinks I'm fabulous, right? A dopamine hit, right? It would.
Yeah.
Missy, you're fabulous. Makes you feel good because Kathy thinks I'm fabulous. But you know what? That's not your thought. It's my thought. Okay? So you get that little hit, and Kathy thinks I'm fabulous doesn't feel nearly as good for as long as I know I'm a good person and that I'm fabulous in my own right.
Because
if you have that thought, and that's what's creating your feeling, then it's much more long-lasting and sustainable. You're not reaching out going, I wonder if Kathy thinks I'm fabulous today or tomorrow or the next day, or did she yesterday? She told me today, but maybe she didn't yesterday. All that changes because you've created it within yourself and it's long-lasting. Do you see the difference? If you use my thought to create self-love, it's not going to stick.
I see the difference, but I guess what I worry about is, this sounds really stupid when I say it out loud. What if I'm not near as fabulous as I think I am? You know what I mean? Like, what if I am annoying and nobody likes me?
Well, let's talk about Corinne for a minute. Okay. Do you think 100% of the world thinks Corinne is fabulous?
No.
Do you think Corinne thinks Corinne is fabulous?
Yes.
Do you think Corinne cares that there's somebody in the world that doesn't think she's fabulous?
Well, it's a lot easier to somebody in the world when she has 50,000 people that do.
Now, you don't know she has 50,000 people that think she's fabulous.
Well, I know she has 25,000 groupies.
Why do you think people think Corinne is fabulous? It's because, I'll just cut to the chase here, it's because Corinne has that feeling about herself. Because she chooses who she is and how she feels about herself every single day. She chooses who authentic Corinne is every single day. And because she has made that choice and created that confidence and exudes that confidence, she doesn't have to worry about what anybody else thinks, and people gravitate to that. It's like a cycle. Corinne's fabulousness internally creates external fabulousness. If you love yourself, people realize it and they know it because you're not looking to someone else to love you so you can love yourself.
I see that part of it. Like, I guess I don't know how to apply it in the real world. Like, I believe that I'm capable of a lot, and I believe that, like, I can do a lot. I know that. But if I went out to get a job, or I went out to, like, say I was going to do something for, I don't even know what kind of example to give. Like, I know at my church, I can volunteer to do something, and people are going to say yes, because they've seen me do it. Mm-hmm. They know what I can do. They can count on me. Mm-hmm. But if I go tell someone else that doesn't know me, and they get, like, for some reason, something about me makes them not like me, then, you know, because, like...
Why does it matter?
Well, because if I want to go get like a job or if I want to make new friends, I need to know what kind of, what I'm putting out there. Like, what do people think about me matters to me because I can change it if I need to. Like, if my behavior is annoying, I don't want to keep doing it.
Wait just a minute. Are you changing because you want to change and be loved or because you want someone else to love you? What's that change? What's that change for?
Both. I mean, okay, have you ever met somebody that you want to be around? And you say, if they would just do this, people would like them. You know, and so I don't want to have some kind of habit or some kind of trait that everybody thinks, if she would just whatever... Like, I would rather know that. Like, you listen to all these self-help books, and they're telling you, you know, do this. Sorry, Alexa's just talking to us over there. But I don't know. Like, I just feel like the more I listen to podcasts, and it talks about being self-confident, the more I worry about how do others perceive me. Because all of these books and stuff are saying, put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to tell you is that authenticity, being authentically you, is always going to serve you. Trying to be someone you're not is never going to serve you. Okay? So if you are 100% the person you are, and you are authentic, and you are a beautiful Missy Shea, whoever she is, then the self-love comes and you don't worry so much about what other people are thinking. Okay? So let's say, let me just say this. When I was learning to coach, I learned to coach Jane and Corinne, were both coaches, and I used to think, I want to be just like Jane. You know, if I could just coach as good as Jane, if I could just be Jane, if I could talk the way Jane does. And then I read the book, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Have you read that one?
I have not, but it is in my cart at the library.
There's a part in that book that spoke to me so clearly that I'm, seriously, when I get off this call, I'm going to find it and take a picture of it and put it in the Facebook group for you. But it says, it talks about how everyone has a unique set of skills. Sometimes our skill sets can be the same, but we use them in our own unique way. Okay, so everyone, what it basically says is everyone is a little bit different, and we're supposed to be, and that's what makes us special. And when I read that about how I could be uniquely Kathy, with the same set of skills that someone else has because I deliver them in a different way, then I just felt this peace come over me. You know, I felt this, it was like, oh wait, I can be me. And once I embrace being me, then I grow as me, and then I love myself, and I'm okay if Missy gets annoyed by me sometimes, or someone else, you know, loves me to the nth degree. It doesn't, you know, all that is okay, you know? So being yourself and embracing your uniqueness is what is the most important thing when it comes to self-confidence.
So what if you're super confident, but then you don't have, like, I don't know. Like,
are you super confident? I don't know that you are.
No, I'm not.
Right.
I have confidence in my abilities to do things. I don't have confidence in my personality.
Okay. So that's where your work is. So take a look at yourself from your husband's point of view. He loves you unconditionally.
Well, right? That's part of the problem. This is what he says. Like,
All right, give me someone who loves you unconditionally. Tell me someone who loves you unconditionally.
Well, I'd like to think that my my family does, but the reason, okay, I even have notes right here about this for this call. This is one of the reasons I struggle with this. My own mom, who I'm really close to, I still help take care of and everything. She's almost 90. Just this past week, the pastor's wife asked me something after church, and I was talking to her in the middle of responding to what she asked me, and my mom walked up and said, she needs an off button. Shut up, Missy. Not everybody wants to hear you talk. And that's my own mom.
Okay.
I mean, she's old school. Kids shouldn't be heard and all that, but she still treats me like I'm 12 sometimes.
That's a
love
thought.
Her to death, and we usually get along really well, but she makes comments like that.
So is she's allowed to have an opinion.
And then like my husband.
She's allowed to have an opinion.
Right.
Right? And so are you. Her opinion is Missy needs an off button. Your opinion is she's just wrong. You know, it's as simple as that.
But what if she's not?
But you get to decide. That's the point. You get to decide whether or not she's wrong. What you're doing is deciding she's right and there's something wrong with you, and that feels like crap. So what if you just decide, I'm going to be beautiful Missy Shea because I am, and I'm going to be authentic, and people are going to love me or not. All right, I'm hearing a lot of static. Is it me? Will somebody tell me in the chat if it's me or my connection or something? I can't hear any. Yes, static. Fine. Okay. My mic is not rubbing me, I don't think. So did you hear all that, Missy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I could hear you.
All right. So what do you think about that? You get to have an opinion, she gets to have an opinion.
Well, I mean, it's true that we both get to have our own opinions, but what if, okay, like, so we use these self-help books to better ourselves. What if other people's opinions are things I could take in to better myself? That's where I get confused, because
no, you're overthinking. You get to decide if you're going to apply the self-help or not. You know, that book is also someone's opinion.
Right.
Right? So you get to decide. Wow. You get to be the filter of what Missy needs for improvement and what she doesn't. And I'm going to tell you right now, being critical of yourself and looking for someone else to tell you where you need to improve is not the right place to look. You look within yourself and decide what you like and don't like and where you want to improve.
How do you know what you need to work on? Like,
you look within yourself. You do thought downloads. You decide what you love about yourself and what you want to up level. But you don't change hoping someone else is going to like you, because it doesn't work that way. The more authentic you are, the more self-love you develop. And that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, because love is a feeling that you create with a thought. It's not a feeling someone else gives to you. Think about the model.
Right.
Right? If we put in the C line, Kathy said she loved me. Your thought could be, that was a really nice thing to say, or that makes me feel fantastic, or Kathy's full of crap. She doesn't really love me. Or, I don't understand why she said that. You could have a whole range of thoughts about that.
Right.
Okay, but they would still be your thoughts. I don't know that helped you much, but I think it opened your eyes a little bit, right?
Sort of. I feel like I am on a constant loop, like, all day long. That's just a thought. Like, that's the only thing I've got. Yeah. Like, I keep telling myself, that's just a thought.
You probably have about 50,000 of them a day.
Right.
Half of them are positive and half of them aren't.
And ironically, if you ask me to describe my best traits, like if I was filling out something, you know, to tell somebody my best traits, I would say that I'm outgoing and I can talk to anybody and all that. But then it's the same thing that makes me afraid that people don't like me. How can I have both sides?
You have to drop the afraid that people won't like you. You have to love yourself enough for everyone else. You have to create that feeling within yourself, and you do that with your thoughts.
Well, I know a lot of this stems from, like, you know, the whole emptiness thing, spending a lot more time alone. You know, my kids, I was so involved with them that, you know, I had people asking me to do stuff all the time. You know, whether it was other parents or teachers that needed things done, I was in charge of everything at school, I was directing drama club. Now, you know, I don't have that. So it's hard to see the validation just because I'm not accomplishing things. I mean, I accomplished weight loss, but that's not the same.
Again, that's looking for outside validation.
Right.
Right. You have to find this. The love is created by your thoughts. The feeling of love is one that you create with your thoughts. Here's what you need to do. You need to thought download and journal a lot about where you receive validation and why. And then go back and look at whether it comes from within you and your thoughts or whether it comes from someone else. And I bet about 90% of it comes from someone else, and that's why you're so confused. That's why it's not sticking. That's why you haven't developed it yourself, because it's not sticky when it comes from someone else. It's only sticky when it comes from within, because you've created that belief. You're not relying on someone else to give you that, you know, temporary hit of she likes me or he likes me.
Right.
Okay. So there's your work. In fact, you know that, go back and work that June class, that June bonus class on self-love. All those journal prompts, the next 30 days, use those journal prompts.
Okay.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. The one where if you tell me to write 5 things down I like about myself, I can't. That one?
Then that's where your work is, right?
Yeah, I guess. To me, it seems like it should go hand in hand. Like, I like myself, therefore I see that other people do.
You have to stop worrying about other people. You can't give them thoughts. You can't create feelings for them. You can't give them thoughts. What they think doesn't matter to what goes on in here, unless you make it matter. And it's not gonna be helpful if you're relying on somebody else to feed you those thoughts.
Okay.
All right. Go to work. Do the self-care course. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. Bye.
All right, Ailey, it's your turn. Hello.
Greetings.
You look beautiful. You must be getting ready to go perform.
I've got a gig tonight, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Yes. What you need? What you coaching on?
So, you know, it's really similar to the last caller, actually. It's kind of funny how similar it is. Basically, I've been feeling recently like I am always suffering from this kind of low-level anxiety. And just generally not that happy, or not feeling as happy as I think I should be. I realize that's a thought. And I've been kind of modeling and TDLing a lot about it. And what I realized is that I've always been this really goal-oriented person. And I think that a lot of my self-worth has come from what I've achieved in life and what I keep achieving. And I think that there's always kind of what I'm finding in my thoughts is that there's always this thinking that when I achieve the thing, things will be different. And probably more importantly, that I will be different in some way. And so what I think I'm kind of boiling it all down to is that all this achievement is down to because I just think that I'm not good enough. And I think that I'm kind of unlikable to myself and not very happy in myself and who I am. So yeah, I think that all this kind of being very goal orientated is always about looking for validation that I can like myself. And I think that's, you know, a big part of what the weight loss is. Like I'm only 15 pounds now from my goal weight, but still sort of, I don't feel any happier than I did 40 pounds ago. You know, it's sort of that thing of like, so I think I'm really aware that like, I think I keep chasing these goals with the thought that like, maybe that will be the thing that makes me feel good enough or likable enough or nice enough or whatever it is, and it never comes. So yeah, it's all I guess comes down to like self-love and how to sort of cultivate that happiness from within rather than from externally.
Right. Changing the C line basically of the model is what you're doing, but you're not changing the thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's always something else that you need to go after. To maybe this will be the thing, maybe that'll be the thing that makes me feel self-worth, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not. Self-worth is a feeling that you create with a thought, not you don't create it with an accomplishment.
Yep.
Right? So you publish a book, that doesn't mean you're going to love yourself.
Yeah.
You do a handstand, that doesn't mean you're going to love yourself.
Yeah.
You create a thought about doing the handstand, like, look at me. Mm-hmm. I'm really great at, you know, doing new things. And that can improve your self-worth.
Yeah, because I think like during the achieving the goal, there is always a kind of slightly higher level of happiness. But then it's always like when I actually accomplish it, is that like, oh.
Right. It's just like Missy. You know, she's looking to other people to tell her she's great. You're looking at goals to tell you you're great rather than generating the thought and the feeling within yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I could tell you all day long, I think you're fabulous. You're beautiful. You're very talented. You can sing. You can play the harp. You can, I'm sure there's lots more that you can do that I don't even know about. But, you know, that'll give you that temporary, well, Kathy thinks I'm great.
Yeah.
And that feels good for like a half a second. But if Ailey doesn't believe it, then it just, you know, kind of floats away. Little magic dust just goes away, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, so then like, I've been trying to kind of think like, what are thoughts I can have to kind of cultivate more self-like and, you know, doing some things like, you know, trying to list things I like about myself and all that. But yeah, I find it so difficult. It's so much.
Okay. Easier. Let's try this. Let's do a model. This is going to be a super intentional model. Okay. So what result do you want to create?
Liking myself.
Okay. I love myself. What do you have to do to create that result? Give me a lot of things, as many as you can think of.
I have to think I'm a nice person. I have to...
You have to talk nice to yourself.
Nice to myself, yeah. I have to... I think it's all about the thoughts I have to have. Like I need to think I'm kind and think I'm generous and think I'm a good friend and think I'm loyal. And
so you have to practice new thoughts?
Yeah.
Right? What else do you have? What? Tell me things you won't do. It could be things you do or things you don't do.
Won't get into these kind of negative thought loops that I get into quite easily.
Or maybe we'll say you pull yourself out of negative thought loops. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Because they're going to come. You're just not going to sit in them for days at a time. You'll be like, wait, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
We're going to change this, right? Okay. Anything else? You have to take care of yourself?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to put down self-care. What else?
I think I probably need to take more time just to be with myself when I'm not trying to achieve anything.
Okay. Anything else?
Sure, probably are lots of other things.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. What do you have to feel in order to do those things? Pick something other than love.
Kind.
Okay.
Curious, maybe.
Ooh, curious is good.
Kind of compassionate.
Compassion. Self-compassion is always good. All right. What do you have to think in order to gin up those feelings? How about I'm open to working on how I think about myself?
Yeah.
It's interesting how I have a thought about how this is going to work out, and it doesn't work out that way, but it's cool. Okay. So this is your model. I hope Missy's still watching. All right. So I just put Ailey's self-worth. I'm open. I'm reading it backwards. I'm open to working on how I feel about myself. It's kind, curious, compassionate, something like that. All the actions. Yeah. And it turns into an increased self-worth or self-love or whatever you want to put in this R line. Here's the cool thing about the model. You can create any result with actions. The action line comes right above the result line.
Yeah.
So once you really blow out this action line, you start doing these actions whether you believe the thought or not.
Yeah.
Because these actions are going to create the result.
Yeah.
And then once you see the result coming together, you begin to believe the thought.
Yeah.
Because the result always reflects the thought.
Yeah.
So if you do these things and you create the result, the thought becomes more real.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? It's really cool the way the model works that way.
Yeah.
I love working the model from the bottom up, deciding what result I want first and then working up. Because sometimes I find a thought that I like and sometimes I think it's a little out there. Okay, that sometimes the intentional thought is, you know, kind of far away.
Yeah.
But the more I hit that action line and create the result, the more the thought comes back toward me and I understand it and believe it more.
Yeah, because I think that like, even when I've been trying to, sort of when I've been doing the actions of trying to list things I like about myself or things mm-hmm. that I think are good enough, it still, like, I think that it hasn't felt like it's resonating yet because actually all that's going on in my head the whole time is like, this is ridiculous and these things aren't really true and oh, you're really having to start to find these things and mm-hmm. and you know, whereas maybe it's just a kind of thing of like, if I just get in habit of doing that as a daily practice, maybe it will start to feel more natural each time. And
everything takes practice, you know that.
Yeah. You're not,
I mean, maybe you can play by ear. Maybe you can play any piece when you sit down at first, but to really perfect it and to really, for it to feel good and for it to flow through your fingers and, you know, you'd become one with the music, it takes practice, right? It's the same thing with all of this, with, you know, everything from, you know, getting to know the four basics to learning how to love yourself to, you know, any part of life really, right?
Yeah. And actually even more, it actually takes to the point where I actually need to get it so that I'm not thinking about what I'm, like, I know I can play a piece really well when I'm not even having to think about it and it's just the finger, like the muscle memory is there.
Right.
So, yeah, so I guess it's that sort of thing, like
right.
practice the thoughts to the point where I don't have to practice.
Right.
It's just ingrained.
Mm-hmm. Something else, but, you can
feel weird for a long time, I guess, doing that.
Right, exactly. Something else you can do is you can write down the thoughts that you hear playing in your mind that you don't like. Just write them down on one side of the paper, and on the other side of the paper, write an answering thought.
Yeah.
Just so you can say, you know what, today I'm not going to think this, I'm going to think this instead.
Yeah.
And you start practicing that as well. Start practicing the new thoughts right after you hear the old ones. So you might think, gosh, my hair looks terrible today. I don't know. And the answering thought is, thank goodness I have hair. You know, I'll do better tomorrow. It's really not that bad, whatever it is. Okay. So you just have your old thoughts and your answering thoughts, and you just practice. You practice replacing them until they seem more real as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think I realized like how bad it was. Like, I recently got diagnosed, like I've got like a sort of skin cancer mole on my back, which just needs treated. And like my first thought was like, oh, I deserve that probably, because it's like, cause I'm not very nice, you know. And I was
wow,
what a poisonous thought, that's horrible.
What a terrible thing to say to yourself.
It wasn't like, oh, for me, it was like, oh yeah, probably deserve that.
So how did you answer yourself?
I just sort of caught it and was like, it was just like, oh god, that's so mean, like I would never say that to somebody else. And that's
right.
Yeah. I think it's realizing that, like, I would never be as mean to other people as I am.
I am. I've told this story before, so if I've told it to you, I apologize in advance. But I was at camp a year ago in last spring, and I was sharing a room with Corinne and Jane. And Jane is, you know, a longtime PMP member, and she certified with Corinne and everything. And within the space of about 15 minutes, I said out loud in front of both of them two nasty things about myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think I was doing my hair or something, and I didn't have my glasses on, and the mirror was too far away. And so I put my glasses on and I said, well, let's see what a crappy job I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, both of them were like, because that was the second thing I said. And I was like, not only did I just say this really nasty thing to myself, I said it in front of two certified life coaches. They're going to get me. So when you start hearing the dialogue, it's really kind of surprising that you talk to yourself that way. And that's the stuff you want to put an end to.
Yeah.
Right. Makes
sense. Okay. So just kind of keep practicing the action until the thoughts.
Yes.
Resonate a bit more. Okay. Yeah. Makes
sense. All right. Is that it?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's good to see you. Right. Bye. Okay. Who do we have now? Tanya. There you are. Trying to unmute you. There it is. Hello. How are you?
Hey. It's so nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too. What's going on?
I'm a January baby, and
welcome.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I love everything so far.
Good.
I just been having trouble that whole loving yourself on the way down thing. I'm definitely not there. I'm trying, but it's just I just know I can do better, and I just can't figure it out. It mostly happens, negative self-talk, the same time every day. I start the day well, have my coffee, drop off my daughter, go to the gym. But then after my shower, this is when it happens. You know, the point in between where you're like getting dressed and like, so I'm like in my bra, my underwear, getting dressed, you know, putting makeup on, but I see myself in the mirror and I'm just like, I just start beating myself up. How did you let yourself go? Why did you, you know, all these negative, horrible things. And so I took a suggestion. I did ask coaches for Corinne, and she said to put like a post-it on, you know, I put it on two of my mirrors saying something, you know, positive instead. But I just had never did a thought download either yet. But I just watched what you did for Ailey, is it?
And Ailey,
Yes, and that I'm like, I have to mimic what you just did for her, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, okay?
Yeah.
The self-talk is, it's very cool that you're hearing it now.
Yes.
All right. So that's kind of like, you know, we, we always talk in PMP about baby steps. And the very first step to changing any habit is being aware that you have the habit. Okay.
I just started to hear it a lot. Yeah.
Right. And so if you don't know you have the habit, then you're not going to change it. Right. But right. Now that you're hearing the negative self-talk, you can start answering it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just like, I don't remember which one I told this to, the two pieces of paper. When you look in the mirror and you see, you know, why'd you let yourself go like this? You know, how would you answer that?
Gosh, I never thought of that.
If you don't want to think that, if you want to replace that thought, what would you say?
Gotcha. I would tell a friend, I guess I could think of it that way. I would tell a friend, well, you had a baby 2 years ago and you moved across country when she was 18 months old. And
look at what you're doing for yourself now.
True.
We're fixing this. We are, we are up-leveling our eating. We're exercising, you know, in the midst of all of this, we're learning to love ourselves.
And in my biggest trouble, I think is, I compare to other women who, you know, did it all and, you know, stay looking great. And it's like, oh gosh, then you start thinking, okay, why am I so weak? Why did I, you know, how come I wasn't strong enough, you know?
Tell me what benefit there is to any of this, because we usually don't do anything
right.
that we don't receive some kind of benefit from. So what benefit are you getting from this?
Good question. For some reason I get off on beating myself up and I'm not sure why yet, you know, perfect example is seriously last week I went to Puerto Rico unexpectedly and I thought I was doing horribly and I came back and I lost 3 pounds, but I was ready for the scale to be up. Mm-hmm. And I actually, this is so messed up, Kathy. I was actually like upset with myself that I'm like, wait, I don't get to beat myself up right now. Cause I lost 3 pounds. Those little changes.
So why do you get off beating up on yourself?
Gosh,
what do you get from it?
I feel like I deserve it. And I don't know why either. Darn it. I'm sorry. I'm no help.
No. I mean, this is really interesting. If you were why were you disappointed you couldn't beat up on yourself?
I was kind of surprised. You know, usually the thing would be like, I lost 3 pounds. Yay. Right. You know, but I don't know. I just thought maybe like, you know, I deserved because I had 2 drinks a day and I did plan to have 2 drinks a day when I was away. I planned that, but I felt like I should have been more perfect about it. And if I'm not, then I'm not doing the best that I can or being the best that I can be. So somehow I deserve to be mean to myself, but I don't know why. Oh, man.
Okay. Do you really believe you deserve to be mean to yourself?
Probably not, no. But this is like, this is ingrained in me for so long now.
You have a thought today. Your thoughts are all about today. You might have practiced this thought for a while. But, you know, it's not, you're not grabbing a thought from last year and acting on it today. It's today's thought.
Okay.
Gotcha. So let's just be real clear about that. Whatever you're thinking right now is today's thought.
I know, I'm a pain in the ass, aren't I?
No, I'm just trying to decide what I want to teach you. The first thing I want to tell you is you're never going to get a positive result from a negative action. But beating yourself up is never going to give you a positive result.
I believe that.
It's going to be, you know, lower self-worth. It's going to be more beating yourself up. It's going to be a negative cycle of some sort. Okay. So the sooner you can recognize that you're doing that and as you're doing it and put a stop to it,
right,
the better off you're going to be, the more positive results you're going to be able to create. Okay.
Yes.
And the loving yourself as you lose it is essential. You know, look at Missy and Ailey. You know, they've both lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And learning to love yourself as you go down, you know, you're not going to lose all your weight and automatically love yourself, because love is a feeling that's generated up here, not yes. on the scale, not from somebody else, not from accolades and successes. It's all up here.
I believe that.
And beating yourself up is not something, it's not an action that comes from self-love, right? Because self-love feels good. Beating yourself up doesn't. So, you know, the positive and negative don't go together.
Right.
So for you, I love the fact that you're hearing yourself beating yourself up now. I'm hoping you're putting a stop to it. That's at least your next step. No, you know what? Today, I'm not going to do that. Just tell yourself. When you look in the mirror, when you're in your bra and your underwear, and you say, how did you let yourself go? You're going to go, no. Today, I'm not going to ask that question.
Okay.
Because today, I'm working on, you know, losing a little bit more weight and telling myself that that's not an option. That thought is not an option today.
Okay. No, I'll keep doing that. I'll keep doing it. I'm not going to believe it right away. I know that. But I'm dying for myself to believe that. Because, you know, I just want to, you know, I want that confidence and I just want to love myself now because I've lost weight, you know, before and I got down and it was always just, I didn't love myself on the way. So it didn't even matter, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just want to like nip this in the bud now.
You know, maybe the first step for you to work toward is acceptance. Okay. I'm 53. And when I stand in the mirror in my bra and panties, I see the, I didn't have C-section, but I had a hysterectomy. The C-section scar. So I have the C-section pouch. Right. I have the extra skin, you know, in my legs and in my stomach from losing 80 pounds and not having any skin surgery.
Right.
But I'm okay with all that because I lost 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and I learned as I lost it that it was okay to have imperfections in my body. I'm never going to be a Barbie doll and I'm okay with that.
Right. All right.
In fact, and
I need to do that because I used to be a dancer. So that's part of where this is. I'm not going to blame it on that, but like, you know, I need to realize like, okay, you're not in your 20s anymore. You're not dancing anymore. Like, regroup. You had a baby. Like, you know. So I see what you're saying.
So your body did something beautiful twice. It danced and it created a baby. Right. It's probably done other beautiful things and you probably have evidence of that on your body and that's okay.
Right.
Right. You're going to lose weight and you're going to, you know, you're going to wear smaller clothes and, you know, all that. And that's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But it's not going to erase anybody, what you perceive as body imperfections.
Right. Right.
Right. I have a mole on my leg. You know, I could hate that if I wanted to, but it's just there. I've always had it. It looks like, you know, it's about this big in the shape of Africa, you know? Okay.
I love it. You're so nice.
But seriously, you know, that's where it moved to first.
Okay.
Oh, you think it's my earring? Let's do that.
Oh,
that's right, leave a comment. I didn't even think about that. That might've been the clicking. So Move toward acceptance of where you are and what your body's done for you and what you're creating now. You know, who's to say you couldn't? Oh, good, it was the earring. Sorry, you guys. I'll note that. This mic is new.
Probably driving people crazy.
Well, probably. So decide what else your body is going to create for you. And what else you're going to accept, you know, how it's going to change, you know, when you create it. Maybe you start lifting weights and all of a sudden you're going to, you know, you're going to create muscles. You're going to create definition. Maybe you're going to run. So you're going to create a leaner, you know, thinner look. I don't know.
Right.
It's up to you. You get to decide.
Thank you so much.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good deal. All right.
All right. Take care. Thank
all right.
you.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
I never even thought about the earrings. I'm so glad that popped up in the chat. All right, Jessica.
Hi. How are you?
I didn't even call you up. Surprise.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Absolutely.
I'm a newbie. I've been a groupie for a long time, for about a year before I signed up, and just joined in January. So mm-hmm. I had this planner that I bought and I carried it around for a year and wrote nothing in it.
Oh.
I was afraid it wasn't going to be perfect. I literally carried it with me every day to work, and mm-hmm. I didn't have the perfect plan, so I didn't do it. So mm-hmm. I finally kind of got over that, and I've lost about 30 pounds, and I feel like 100 pounds of crap that mm-hmm. I didn't even realize was inside of my head. But I'm still kind of working on the evening time tends okay. to be when I'm kind of falling off the plan and letting myself get into some poopy thinking about how I'm stressed out and I really deserve a treat or I deserve a break. And mm-hmm. I've been doing some TDLs on that and trying to recognize when I'm getting into it and change to a different, better thought. But I was also trying to sub out some of the food things that I was doing to reward myself for something different. So,
did you listen to last week's podcast?
I don't.
No,
I'm not sure.
The answer is no, because you would know, because it was all about rewarding yourself with food.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, I grew up that way, and that's kind of my big thing that I want to work on right now. Mm-hmm. So I know that I don't want to do that, but then if I'm rewarding myself with something else that's not food, am I avoiding the work that I should be doing by kind of sitting with an emotion and really figuring out the emotional stuff? So
could be. Yeah, could be.
I've been doing like sparkling water or having like a nice cup of tea or mm-hmm. like literally hide. I have four kids, so I'll kind of like hide from them for a few minutes in mm-hmm. a safe way, but just to like take a minute sure. to kind of regroup. Mm-hmm. And I get this really antsy, uncomfortable feeling like I want to just kind of like jump out of my skin and run away. And mm-hmm. I'm presuming that gets better with time and that.
It's just a little urge.
Yeah, like kind of mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to be, but I don't know. I guess other suggestions for how to work through that or.
Well, probably what that is your brain saying, hey, you know, we're supposed to be eating right now. You know, this is different. You know, brain doesn't like change, right? That
right.
The brain likes habit because habit doesn't take a lot of energy. Okay.
Right.
So you're feeling this antsiness because you're feeling a little bit of an urge to eat probably. But what you're doing is you're not feeding the urge. You're sitting with it, and that's what's right. making you feel antsy. You're what?
Sorry, I'm dirty. I'm like all.
That's so funny.
You're like, why am I so cloudy? Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you're feeling the urge and you're not responding to it is a good thing, okay? Because you're not. Urges are going to pass whether you answer them or not.
Right.
And the more you don't respond to them, the less urgent they become. They become more like suggestions rather than, oh my gosh, stop the presses. We have to eat right now. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have a toddler, and when he doesn't want to go in his car seat, he turns into like a totem pole and you like can't bend him in half.
Yeah.
To get
that's,
I
that's
feel like
a,
that.
Yeah. That's a great way. That's a great way to describe an urge. And the reason you're feeling them more at night is because you're tired. You've gone all day. You've, you know, been good. You've used your willpower stores up probably.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get home and you're tired and you have four kids and you're like, I don't know if I can do all of this.
Right.
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 So that's why it feels harder at night. And that's why it comes around more at night is because you've gone all day. Okay. Right. And you've been working on this all day. So just like if you had hired a trainer and you were weight training, and it's hard in the beginning, the more practice you get, the easier it is to do your training exercise or runs or whatever. So the more you practice sitting with these urges, the easier they're going to become. Okay. So if you look at them as normal, you know what, when I get home tonight and the four kids are, you know, hounding me and I know that toddler's going to come visit and I'm just going to hang out with him for a minute. You know what, I'm going to give him 10 minutes and let him have his little fit. And then I'm moving on with my life.
Yeah. And try not to have my fit with it.
Or just know that he's going to have a fit. The toddler, she is going to have a fit, but you're just not going to respond.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to eat. I think I'll have a cup of tea, or I'll go find a quiet place. I'll meditate. I'll, you know, whatever it is that you can do to help pass the urge. You don't want to distract from the urge. You want to let it pass through. You want to let it come on, and you want to let it ease off. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing right now. I feel like I'm running away from it instead of being there from it. I'm like, ooh, this feels yucky. Like, we need to get away.
Yeah. The neat thing about feelings is that they are, the term is vibrations in your body. Okay. So they're the physical part of a thought. Okay. So your body takes on the feeling as a result of the thought. The feeling, because it's a physical feeling, comes on your body. Think of like sad. Think of something of sadness. Okay. You start crying because you feel this intense sadness, but then you stop crying and it kind of eases off, right? Whole thing takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes max. All right. You can do that with an urge as well, an urge to eat as well. You feel it come on. It feels real strong. It feels like that toddler, that rigid toddler that you described. But it eventually it's going to ease back off, and it's not going to take very long. You know, feelings don't stay with you for very long. They come on and they ease back out. I did this. I did this when I lost my dad. I wanted to really feel the grief. So it was like I described the sadness. I sat in a quiet place. I let the sadness and the grief come on me, and I cried, and I, you know, huddled in, and you know, how you do when you're really crying hard. And then I felt it kind of ease out. It was like a wave. It kind of just flowed through my body and flowed right on out. And then I stopped crying and I sat back up and I was like, okay, I can survive that feeling. So when you do that and you take it all the way through the process and you let it ease back out, there is some kind of, I don't know, feeling of control or empowerment that you can survive the urge, and you know that it's going to be okay, that it's going to flow through, and it's going to reach its completion, and you're going to be able to move on to the next time. And each time you do that, it becomes easier.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We lost a baby several years ago when I was about 7 months pregnant, and that was,
oh wow,
you know, it was really hard, obviously. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like working with a trainer, like the grief gets easier to deal with. So I think this will too, you know, it's, I'm not used to recognizing what I'm feeling even. So just kind of getting used to my emotions. I wasn't even paying attention to them before. So, I guess it's just a process.
It is. If you can put a name to the feeling, it's really helpful. If you can, I was talking to someone on office hours last night who was describing, it was really neat the way she could describe the feeling in her body, what it felt like, the pit of her stomach and all that kind of stuff, but she couldn't name the feeling.
Right. Yeah. So I use my wheel a lot when I'm doing my, so I printed it up in color and I put it in my binder and I'm my feeling. Like, I'm just like all of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's really helpful. I'm kind of expanding on the feelings.
Yeah. So when they're such an important part, because the feelings, that identifying your feeling helps you know what your actions are going to be, you know, that because of the think, feel, act cycle, the thought creates the feeling generates the actions. So if you find yourself in a feeling that you don't want to create an action from, like an urge to eat, you just sit with that feeling and you let it flow through to its completion. Right. And then you've paused that cycle. You haven't taken it directly into the action. It's kind of a cool little concept. Does it make sense? Yeah. Am I explaining it well?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And then once it passes, is it helpful, like if you have time right then, to just kind of TDL it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That actually, TDLing it shows your brain, shows your own mind that you can survive the feeling. You know, describe it. This is what brought it on. This is what it felt like. This is when it passed through. This is what it felt like. And this is why I had it. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's too easy. Like it shouldn't work that way. but, you know, I can see how that would be really helpful.
It is easy. And it's, yeah. it's,
but cool. It's supposed to be hard.
No, it's cool because it's easy. This is like the best thing since sliced bread. Seriously. I mean, when you wrap your arms around, yeah, we do a lot of work at camp on actually feeling your feelings.
Right.
It's such an important part of us is acknowledging our feelings and allowing them. And then the next step from that is creating the feeling that you want.
It's that's what I want. I want that for my kids. I want them to figure that out now. Like I want to be able to teach that to them so that they're not 40 and like don't even know when they're angry or, you know, whatever it is.
Or they don't know how to feel anger and decide that's not what they want to feel and create.
Right, how to choose something else.
Right,
exactly. So I need to get the hang of that myself first. But we're my oldest is 9, so we try to talk about different choices he can make too. And I think that's probably just the coolest part for me. Totally blows my mind in a good way.
Yeah, it's really cool. Instead of being reactive to emotions, you can be intentional with them. You can create what you want. It's a very cool concept, and I don't know why other people, you know, haven't found this yet.
Why don't we teach this in school? You know, like that's,
I feel
like it's so important. You know, I went to school, went through college, kind of got everything that I thought I wanted. And I was like, why am I not happy? Like I worked for all of these things and all of these accomplishments, but it's because I kept looking other places for other things to make me happy. Like when I hit this milestone, then I'm going to feel good and then I'm going to be happy. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm here. Where's my like happy bus? Like when's it going to pull up? So it's really
going to pull up when you call it up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have driving the bus.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Is that helpful?
Yes, super helpful. Thank you.
All right.
I'll keep my bubbly water and go feel my vibrations.
There you go. Feel those vibrations.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Let's see what's in the Q&A box real quick. Come on, little Q. Oh, it's over here. I have always equaled loving myself with being arrogant and conceited. Well, that's a thought. Right? You can decide that loving yourself is being arrogant and conceited, or you can decide that loving yourself is what you're supposed to do because you are unique and beautiful and created exactly like you're supposed to be. So, I don't see it as arrogant and conceited. I see it as calm and accepting and kind. And compassionate, just like who was it? Ailey's model. You know, loving someone else is kind and compassionate. Why wouldn't loving yourself be kind and compassionate, right? Okay, you guys, I'm going to let you go. I hope you have a great rest of the day. Talk to you soon. Bye.